Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is everyone excited to be in church tonight? Praise the Lord. I'm excited to be here. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it feels like I haven't been here in a month or more. Amen. But it's only been a couple weeks, I guess. Last week we weren't here. But praise the Lord. We were getting the rest that we needed. And my wife already told you that. But I'm telling you again. Praise the Lord. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. Praise the Lord. And so I'm establishing it. Amen. Glory to God. But we just got one more announcement. We had a brother here. Was it yesterday? Had a birthday? Yesterday, praise the Lord, 72 years old, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God, that's favor of God, amen. We're just thankful for our brother Dwayne Gabriel, praise the Lord. And if you know, I always say this, when I know it's somebody's birthday or been somebody's birthday, I always say this, if I know it, praise the Lord. So if it was your birthday and I didn't say it, well, it's just because I didn't know it, so tell somebody to tell me, amen. But, you know, it's all, I'm a big believer. And when you know that somebody's birthday or something like that, to be a blessing to them. So if it's on your heart, you know, and it should be, praise the Lord. But why don't you bless Dwayne, you know, just give him a handshake with something in it. Amen. Something that'll bless him. Praise the Lord. And glory to God. There's always something when it's always best in a handshake when there's something between the two skins. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the form of denim, colored denim. Praise the Lord. You know what that is? They make dollar bills out of cut off jeans and stuff like that. I don't know if you knew that, but at least they used to. Well, praise the Lord, but just be a blessing. We always want to be a blessing to people. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, you guys, we just want to be a blessing. The Bible says that if you're a blessing, you'll be blessed. If you increase, you'll increase. Praise the Lord. And so we might as well just look for opportunity to do that. And what better? Somebody's birthday. You know, we're excited. Dwayne made another year. Praise the Lord, aren't you? Glory to God. We're excited. I don't mean that like we weren't expecting he wasn't. Praise the Lord. But we're just excited when people make it another year and glory to God, another year to serve God. Amen. His family's been faithful to the churches for a while, and praise the Lord for them. But glory to God. That's my announcements. Amen. Tonight's message is called Present or Participating. Praise the Lord. Present or participating. You know, there's a difference between being present and participating. Amen. Praise the Lord. Has anyone ever seen the road workers out there? Praise God, hallelujah. You know, I'm not coming down on road workers, but we all know the stereotype. You know, you got one person shoveling and then four people being propped up by him. Yep. Glory to God. But what do we know about that? There's lots of people that are present, amen, but not all are participating, yeah. Amen. You know, and really, this message came to me. Actually, I was going to preach a totally different message, and this message came to me this afternoon. And the idea of it is that a lot of Christians live that same way. A lot of Christians are living in a place where they're being present. They'll show up to church, but they're not participating. And what I mean is not just participating in church, but not participating in God. Amen. You know, I got to thinking about this as I was pondering some religions, and there's a specific reason for it. But one thing that I've noticed is that in some, you know, there's some religions that were denominations, I guess, or whatever you want to call it, or sects of Christianity that were, you know, based on, and one of the things that they were known for is being humble. You know, and I've noticed in recent times that in a lot of cases in that area, that's changed a lot. And I got to thinking, you know, as I was thinking about that, I was praying in the spirit as I was driving, and this all came to me. But as I got to thinking about that, I was thinking about the difference between, you know, being the church or the body of Christ and being in a religion. You know, and what it really amounts to is what's built on God. You know, religion is man's idea. Praise the Lord. The church was God's idea. Praise God, hallelujah. You know what? Basically, every denomination, Christian denomination we have, came out of some kind of revival or some kind of move of God. Praise the Lord, we love moves of God. But you know, humans have just always had this thing where they want to they want to put a name to it. Amen. They're not just happy with it being what it was, but they want to put it. They want to make it a thing. You know, and you know, the Bible tells us that God does a new thing. In other words, that God's always, you know, I love testimonies, but even with testimonies, we look at testimonies sometimes from the wrong perspective. I don't know about you, but I always got excited when I heard someone's testimony about how they got out of something that I was going through. And even as a pastor, this has happened, and I would go to them and I'd say, you got to tell me your testimony. And why do I want to hear their testimony? Not so much because I want to hear what God does, but I want to hear how God has done it. Amen. And that's not exactly the right thing to do, because I, you know, in my mind and a lot of people's minds, what they do with that is they say, okay, I can't figure out how God's going to get me out of this mess. So if I can talk to somebody else who God has gotten out of a mess, then I can know how he's going to do it. And then I can have faith. But see, God says to have faith in him regardless of whether you know. In fact, God probably isn't going to do the same thing the same way. And the reason he isn't going to do things the same thing the same way is because he doesn't want us to have faith based on just the works alone. He wants us to have faith in him because we trust him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we need to be people that experience God from that level. You know what I'm saying? And so what I was talking about again is we need to be the church. But so many times people are so focused on their group or their sect, and they want to just do things the way that they've done them, and not so much because it's the way God wants to do them. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so this is kind of where this focus comes from. And we're going to see some scriptures we know, scriptures we used before, but I think we're going to see them in a different light tonight. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. We're going to start in Psalm 127:1. Again, a scripture that shouldn't be unfamiliar to you. And if it is, I bet when we get there, you'll remember it. Praise the Lord. Psalm 127:1. It says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. Praise the Lord. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. They got the house built, but they labored in vain. They did it, but they labored in vain. See, we can't build things on our ideas. Because unless God's in it, it's in vain. People say, well, why, you know, this, you see in these certain denominations of Christianity, you see them closing the doors. You see them, or some, actually, we saw in a nearby town in Mayville, we saw one church. It's three different, totally different denominations have got together in the same building to share the cost of it. Why? Well, I would imagine because their numbers are down and because the finances are down. So they can't afford to, each one can't afford to have their own. So now they're sharing. But what's the problem with that? You see, well, that sounds like a good thing that people would be coming together. See, it's not a bad thing if you come together and like faith, but it's another thing if you come together because you can't afford to. Amen? Praise the Lord. My wife and I love having our own house. You love having your own house? Praise the Lord. I love my mom. I love my brothers. I love all the rest of my family. My wife's family, we had them all over on Friday night. Praise the Lord. Well, last night, glory to God, we had them all over for a picnic. Love them all, but I don't want any of them to live with us. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Not because I don't love them. Praise the Lord, because I want my own, right? Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We do things the way that we do them. Amen. And that's important. But you know, the thing is it's not a bad thing if people come together for like fellowship or like-mindedness. But when you do it because, you know, if all of a sudden, you know, we could all afford, and that's where I was going with it, we could all afford our own homes. But if all of a sudden we couldn't, we all had to live together, it would make things uncomfortable, wouldn't it? You know, there's different people, you know, different things. You know, some people like shoes on in the house. Some people don't want shoes on in the house. We're non-shoe in the house people. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're a shoe in the house person, that's fine with me. Just don't bring your shoes into my house. Amen. Glory to God. And I won't walk barefoot in yours. Praise the Lord. But we understand that God, you know, that God has a plan. And God's plan isn't for things to fail or to come to naught. But see, what happens is so many times when things are just built on man's ideas and what man wants to do, then God isn't in it and they labor in vain who build it. You know, if God's in it, it doesn't fizzle out. If God's in it, it doesn't, and that's, you say, well, what about the early church? The early churches, you know, you had churches in Ephesus that aren't there anymore. What happened to that church? Well, man evidently got involved in it. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? And so what we mean by this is, you know, there can be moves of God and great things that happen, but if we base a religion or make a, now we have a faith that's based on that. No, we need to have, see, if we have our faith based in the Word is unchangeable. The Word doesn't change. And so if this is where our faith is based, then we won't see things fizzle out. But see, what happens is people adapt over time, and after a while, they see that something's not working. You know, see, there's two reasons why something doesn't work. Either God's not in it, praise the Lord, or man's too much in it. Yeah. Praise God. If man's too much in it, even a thing that is God, can fizzle out. Can go by the wayside because man overtakes it. Amen. We need to do things God's way. And so we see is unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain. Now this could be anything. You know, we're talking about being connected to the body of Christ, but the local church. Unless the Lord builds a house, unless we do it His way, unless we get connected to it. Amen. If we're not connected to what God's doing, then we're just being bystanders. Yeah. Amen. How many know, how many here watch sports of any kind? How many here have ever watched sports of any kind or have ever heard of a sport of any kind? Well, what do you know about sports? You got a few people that are out there playing and a whole stadium of people, if you're talking football or baseball or something like that, that are standing around watching, right? Now, the people that are spectating, they can have a good time, right? They can enjoy it. But if you take like the Super Bowl, for example, if you're watching the Super Bowl, if you're there at the Super Bowl, say you get the best seats at the Super Bowl. You paid big money. You got there. You got the best seats. You got favor, right? I don't know where the best seats would be, but just say you got those. Amen. And so you get there. You're sitting in your best seats and your team, the one that you're rooting for. In fact, you know what? They put you right on the sideline, right there in the middle. But you're just spectating, right? And your team, the one that you're rooting for, wins the Super Bowl. What do they get? They get something at the Super Bowl, right? When they win. They get a trophy? Rings? Yeah, they get those rings are valuable, right? The trophy is valuable, all that stuff, right? Amen? But do the people in the stands, do they get to partake of that? No. They don't get the prize. And it's the same way with Christianity. If you're sitting around, if you're watching everybody else do the work, if you're watching everybody else participating, praise the Lord, you're not going to get the prize. And see, this is why so many Christians go without the prize because they've never learned to participate. Now, what were we saying? Does that mean I have to join the cleaning team? Does that mean I have to join the usher team? Does that mean I have to join the worship team? It doesn't mean any of that. It means that we need to do what God has called us to do. We need to connect to something. It needs to be something. Church needs to be something more to us than just something we go to once in a while. It can't be another social club. See, the social clubs are built by man. Any social club is built by man. If you come to church, you need to believe that God has sent you to that place. And if you don't believe that God has sent you to that place, then you need to go find a place where God sent you to. Why? Because you need to be where God has put you. Why? Because unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain. That's why you could say, well, you know, there's some people that can't flourish in that church over there or that church over there. But to stay there because, well, this is where we've always gone. My family grew up in this church. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times my wife and I have heard that story. Yes. Praise the Lord. We have known people that they start getting the word, even maybe come to one of our churches and get the word. And they're like, this is so good. I know that this is what I need. Yeah. But I grew up in this church over here. Listen, if it's not teaching you a word, if it's not feeding you, it's not where God has you planted. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain. Yeah. In other words, you're getting up on Sunday morning, you're going to church, you're going there for years, and you are laboring in vain. You're doing it all in vain because you're not being part of the plan of God. Amen? You need to know where you're called, why you're called, and what to do. It's not enough to just come to church and sit in. We talked to a person that claimed to be a Christian not too long ago in our Mayville church. Amen. We talked to them and I was talking to them. I was like, you need God's plan. And they said to me, well, I sure wish God would reveal it to me. Well, God isn't going to reveal it to you. Now, this isn't a person that regularly goes to church, but God isn't going to reveal His plan to you unless you're serious about His plan, right. Unless you're serious about seeking Him. And the first way that you seek God is to get connected to church. Get connected to what God is doing. We have to get connected to it. Amen. It can't be something. We have to get to the place. We have to get to the place that we call home. Yeah. Amen. We got to get to the place where if God's put me here, amen. You know, one of the things I said about living for God that I've learned is I can't just do anything I want anymore. I can't just every house out there when we were looking for a new house. You know, I remember I looked for a house before I served God, and any house was a possibility. Under a certain amount, right? Any house was a possibility. I mean, honestly, that's the way it was. Under a certain amount, I knew I had a limit, but under that limit, any house was a possibility. But today, you know what? It's not that way for us. When we were searching for a house, we knew that we had to be in a certain area. And we knew it had to be a certain thing. And in fact, when God showed us the house that was ours, it was out of that price range that we thought we could afford. But see, God, because God was in it, God takes care of it all. And that's exactly the way it is with God, is when we follow Him, when we're part of His plan, it flourishes. But unless we do it His way, it never will flourish. And so many Christians, they're trying to come up with this idea and that idea, and they're trying to make it happen. And because they're trying to make it happen instead of just allowing God to show them, I said, every time I've allowed God to just show me, it just works out. Yeah. Every time. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I could give examples after example after example. But unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. Amen? Now, the thing we have to understand is it's important that the place that you worship also be a place that becomes personalized to you. It's your, like I said, it's your home. This is something that you might think, why does it need to be that way? And we're going to go there in a minute. Well, actually, why don't we just turn over to Ephesians 5. Praise the Lord. It needs to be yours. It needs to be yours. You need to look at it like I've had so many people come up and say, your church, talking to me. People that go to our church. And they say, your church. Well, if I say my church, it's because it belongs to me. But it doesn't mean it doesn't belong to you too. Amen. This is our church. Amen. And if you're visiting here today, well, praise the Lord, you have a church. But you're still part of this family. You're still part of this group. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Ephesians 5:29. Now, this is a scripture that I've never used this way, but it applies because we know in context that this scripture is also talking about husbands and wives, but it's also talking about the church of God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And so it says here, 5:29, it says, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but what? Nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Praise God, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Yeah. Amen. Wow. Notice what you do when you're part of a body. You nourish it and cherish it. Now, this is a reflection of the church. Praise the Lord. But he's talking about husbands. He's speaking to husbands. He's saying, love your wives just as God loved the church, just as Jesus loved the church. Amen. But then he's making that comparison to how it is a church, how the church, we are a body. And we need to nourish and cherish that body. Amen. We need to do what's right for that body. Praise the Lord. And what's right for that body? Well, there's many, many things that are right for that body. Just being faithful to showing up to church, which you all are, praise the Lord. But just being faithful to showing up to church is nourishing that body. But we have to understand and that what you're doing, and this is what I want you to understand tonight, because everybody who's here is faithful, praise the Lord, to show up. But what you have to understand is that your faithfulness does matter. And so the fact that you've been faithful is incredibly important because that's part of the nourishing and cherishing of the body of Christ. And that's exactly what God has for us to do. And see, the reason that people can willy-nilly leave a church, you ever seen that? People just come and then they go and then people will just show up or church hop. Praise the Lord. We've had them here in Corey. People at church hop, people come for a time and then they leave. There are people that never get connected. But they're not connected to God's plan. Yeah. It's because, you say, well, how you can say that? Because they're still doing the same thing. Yeah. Listen, I don't have a problem if someone says, like, I know this is my church over here. This is where God feeds me. This is where God has me to be. And it's not the church that I go to or I pastor. That's fine with me. I don't have any issue with that. Yeah. Be where God has called you to be. Yeah. But God doesn't call us to be somewhere different every other week. He doesn't call us to be somewhere different every other year. In fact, one of the things I've learned about God is though He does new things, He does them in the same place. He does them in the same, you know, over and over. God didn't say, you know, look at the important things. God didn't tell me that I could go just get a new wife every year. Not that I'd want to, but you understand what I'm saying. God hasn't told her that. And if we are hearing God tell us that, praise the Lord, it's not God. Amen. But God isn't telling you to jump spouses every year or to, you know, and this is why, you know, we always talk about being against dating and stuff like that. Listen, there is an aspect of dating that's necessary. Not all dating is bad. I'm talking about dating the way the world does. A new boyfriend or a new girlfriend every other week. That's what we're talking about when we say dating. I'm not saying all of dating is bad. Praise the Lord. When it's time, you have to date in order to get to the place where you're engaged, in order to get to the place where you're married. Amen. And so, you know, you have to go through that process. But you don't do the things in dating that you do in engagement, and you don't do the things in engagement that you do in marriage. Praise the Lord. But, we don't hop around. We learn to be faithful where we're at. We learn to be faithful when it's tough. See, a lot of people, the first thing that they're tempted to do when everything gets tough is they're tempted to leave the church. I've seen it over and over again. I've gone through it myself. Why do you suppose that there's a temptation to leave the place that God has placed you? Because the devil's trying to get you out of there. Why do you think the temptation came? It came to try to rob you from what God has for you. Amen? And so I know this seems like basic stuff, but see, this is stuff we have to understand. We have to understand that we are part of something that's bigger than us. Amen? That when we're part of a church, it's not just that we come together and just for a place to worship God, because that's our lives should be worship for God.
Yeah.
Actually, I was getting into studying, amen, this week, just to share a little bit with you. You mind if I share a little bit with you? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, we're instructed to be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make your requests be known to God. Amen. Love that scripture. But, it always tripped me up. It says with prayer and supplication. To me, those were always kind of the same things, just different ways of saying the same things. But how many know that God doesn't just repeat himself for the sake of repeating himself, that there's purpose in the words that he used? Well, so I got into study of those words, and I found out, of course, supplication is when you're, to supplicate is to ask for something that's needed or desired. Amen. Needed or desired. You can ask for both from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, don't be anxious for it. Just ask for it. Aren't you glad God just told us to ask for it? He said, don't be anxious for it. Why would you be anxious? Because you would believe that you're not getting it, or it might not happen. If he says, don't be anxious, just ask me, what does that mean? Just ask me, I'll give it to you. See, when your heart's right towards God, he'll just give it to you. Yeah, that's our God. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. That's free, no charge. But that word prayer is a really interesting word. When you get into it, it doesn't just mean prayer, but it means a place of prayer. A place of prayer, going to a place of prayer. So often I'll be sitting there and I'll be wishing that I had a little bit better place to study or something like that. And I'll be like, oh, if I only had this, I could go to this place in prayer. And literally in the way the Jews looked at it is they had a place that was set aside, and it was generally by water that they would go to and pray. And the reason it was by water is so they could wash themselves and clean themselves before they went into prayer. That's dedication, praise the Lord. But you remember what Jesus told the woman by the well. He said, the time is coming where you'll neither worship on this mountain or in Jerusalem. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But God is seeking. He said, the time is coming, and now is. Now is, praise the Lord, that God is seeking such to worship him in spirit and in truth. And what we understand by the giving of the Holy Spirit is that God has come to live on the inside of us. And so we have that ability to worship wherever we are. We don't have to go to a certain place. We have it with us. We have like I was thinking about this actually in relation to all this. I didn't plan on sharing all that, but it's good for you. Amen. But I was thinking about this. I like packs. I love toolboxes. I like packs. I love places to put things. Even though my stuff is all over the place, I love to have places to put things. What I need is to have somebody help me organize it in those packs. But I love having, I look at backpacks all the time. I think, you know what? I just want another cool backpack. This one would help me travel better. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I don't like to buy backpacks online. I want to look at it, because I want to look at where the pockets are. And you know what else I like? Even though like the tool bags, it's like Home Depot sells these different tool bags, and every once in a while they change them up. And I love it. And I always go there and I look at them. Amen. And every once in a while I'll buy one. But one of the things I love about the tool bags at Home Depot is every once in a while when you buy one, they'll have a picture on the outside of it. And on the outside, it's an example of what's in the tool bag. And so it'll show you this tool is here and this tool is there. And I'm like, yes, that's perfect. See, I wouldn't have thought of putting it there, but that's perfect for it. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So it's a ready to go pack. And I love that idea, because, when you need to go, you just grab the pack and go, and you got everything you need.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what the Holy Ghost is.
Yeah.
He's with us all the time. He's the one that the answer to every question that we ever have. He's packed on the inside of us. God, being as big as he was, packed himself on the inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he's there to guide us and to lead us so we can worship anywhere. Praise the Lord. And go anywhere. that God has for us. He's made us the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I got into all that because I was talking about some people come to church to worship. Which I'm not saying it's not bad to worship God in church. But the purpose of coming to church isn't to worship unless you're having a worship service. The purpose of church, our typical service, is that we can come together, praise the Lord, in the presence of God. Praise God. We can come into that place of being with God. And we get equipped to go out and do the work of the ministry. That's the purpose of church. So many people miss what the purpose of church is. They say, well, I want to have a 15-hour worship service. That's not church. Listen, again, if you're having a spell, we're going to say, hey, next Friday night, I'm not saying we are, but next Friday night, say, let's have a worship service. And we're going to do 2-hour worship service. Nothing but worship. There would be nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. But a 2-hour worship service Sunday morning is wrong. A 2-hour worship service before you're having a church service is wrong. Why? Because that's not the purpose of it. We have to understand that God does things purposefully, even in worship. Now you say, well, that sounds like you're saying that worship is wrong. No, the Bible tells us to worship God all the time. In fact, I was in Psalm 37:23. Did I put that in my scripture? I don't know. Psalm 35:27. Praise the Lord. We'll get there later. Praise the Lord. We're going to go there at the end. But it talks about worship and how we should be worshiping God, you know. Praise the Lord. And the way that we live should be worshipful. Yeah. Amen. Our lives, actually, with thanksgiving, Philippians 4:6 said, right? To ask with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is supposed to be a lifestyle of how we live. Thanking God and worshiping God. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. And so we see that this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to live this way. But we have to be connected to that work of the Lord. We need to be connected to what He's doing. Putting ownership on it. Man, I see people claim ownership on everything. One thing, I don't know why it seems like older people do this, but one thing that I've noticed a lot in older people is they love to place ownership on sickness. You ever notice that? Yeah, they do. I've caught myself trying to get into that a little bit myself, even as I get older. When I was 20, I never thought about being sick. Never. Why? Because most people equate sickness with being old. But just because you're old doesn't mean you have to be sick. God didn't intend it that way. Praise the Lord. That's just stupid thinking that gets us to think that way. Yeah, but we've all got it kind of ingrained in us. And so it's there. And so people start getting older and they start. I was sitting around people recently that, I literally almost turned to them and say, why do we always have to be so obsessed over sickness? Oh, did you get this sickness? Did you get that sickness? Are you feeling this way? Are you feeling that way? Do you have this symptom or that symptom? Like all they're doing is focusing. You know what I'm talking about, right? But that's not the way that it's supposed to be. That's not the way we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be focused on that. We're supposed to be focused on God. But see, what people do is they put ownership on things that don't belong to them, and they won't put ownership on things that do. The church, actually, the church, one of the things he said is, anyone, any among you sick, come to the elders of the church and have them pray over you, anointing you with oil, right? That you'd be healed. Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? That part of the purpose of church is to get us healed. So why are there so many stinking sick people in churches? Because people don't believe it. They put their ownership on the sickness and not on God. See, I want to place ownership on the healing power of God. I want to place ownership on the house of God. I want to place ownership on God Himself. You say, wait a minute. What are you talking about ownership? He's my God. Yeah, He's my God. He's my Father. That's the way I look at Him. He's my Daddy. Mine, praise the Lord. Now, you can have him too. You're welcome to him too. But he's mine. It ain't going to change the fact that he's mine. It ain't going to change the amount that he's mine. There's just about enough of him to go around to everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. No matter what the devil tells you, that's the truth. Praise the Lord. And so we need to place ownership on that. Unless the Lord builds a house. What's the house the Lord's trying to build? The Lord wants us to come together to congregate as the body. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is a hand useful? Absolutely. But if the body was nothing but hands, it wouldn't be real useful, wouldn't it? Why? Because it wouldn't go anywhere. Praise the Lord. Imagine if a lot of people act like the body is nothing but a big butt. Just want to sit around doing nothing. Stinking. You know what I'm saying? That's just the way some people are. But that's not what God, that's the way some Christians are, I'm saying. But that's not what God has intended for us. God has built a body very methodically, hasn't he? You got feet and you got toes, and the toes help the feet. And the toes and the feet together, they both do a different task, but they help each other. They work together to keep you upright. Praise the Lord. And they're connected to your legs. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Plus, they give two people business. Amen. But they're connected to the ankles, and the ankles connected to the legs, and the legs are connected to the knees, and then the lower leg and the knees, and then the upper leg, and then the hip bone, all these different parts of the body. But God uses it in the Bible as a reflection of what we are. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I don't look at my finger and think, man, this is less of my body than my knee is. Praise the Lord. My thumb, though it's not near the size of my thigh, praise the Lord, though it's not near the size of it, it's still important to me. It's still just a part of my body as that is, amen? And my ears and my nose, I'm so thankful for all the parts that I have and that they're all working good and working right. Praise the Lord. It's just what God has intended. But the church has been reflection of the body. It's the same thing. God has made us the body to come together, to be connected to something, to be participating in something, amen? Praise the Lord. When we walk, my wife and I and a couple of our kids were down in Gatlinburg last week. And we hiked up a mountain, praise the Lord. Yeah. Well, we went to the top of the mountain and then hiked the last half mile, but that was enough. Praise the Lord. And we're hiking, and I'm telling you, every step of the way up that mountain, every part of my body knew that we were going up it. Yeah. Amen. I was seeing, and I remember there was a time, because I was feeling even in my arms. I thought, man, I remember there was one time, I remember when it first started happening to me, I was like, what, am I having a heart attack or something? I just felt, you know, because you feel like the blood is just pumping through your arms. It lets you know it's there. My arms weren't doing anything. Yeah. They wanted to do something. They wanted to grab something and pull the rest of me up, praise the Lord. But there was nothing to grab. And so my arms were just hanging there like life. You know, but they were still part of the body. And they were still participating in it. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. They are ready to use the moment I needed them. Yes. Amen. Amen. The second that I needed my arms, they were there. Amen. What was it to do? Well, praise the Lord. If I had fell down, my arms were there in a second to lift me back up. Amen. And it's the same thing with the body. We need to be connected to what God's doing. And when I say we need to be connected, you say, but Pastor Jeff, we are connected. Yes, you are connected. You show up. That's great. But you need to be connected in your mind and in your heart. You need to be connected. You need to be like, this is mine. Because when you're connected that way, when you go out into the world and you start giving your testimony, that's what people were going to see. That's what's going to change lives. That's where people are going to say, you know what? I want some of that, because that's the same thing I'm missing. I don't have that connection. And you don't have to say just, I got this connection. You don't have to be weird about it. But you just talk about, you know what I mean? When we talk about our church, when we're stirred up about, there's enough people here to change a whole city, praise the Lord, if they wanted to. And that's just what we need to do. We need to, Lord, what would you have me do? Where am I connected? How can I better this group, praise the Lord? Glory to God. You don't need a pastor to be telling you everything. What we need is to be doing what the pastor said. Well, the things that are preached, we need to just be running with them. We need to understand that when we're giving, praise God, hallelujah. We need to understand that there is a key to it, praise the Lord, that is very important, to be a doer of the work. What is it? You know, let's flip there real quick. Praise God, hallelujah. James, let's see. James... Hebrews, James, chapter 1, verse 22. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I wrote this in my Bible. A doer does. What does a doer do? A doer does what a doer does. They do something. Amen. If you're not doing anything, you're not a doer.
Yeah, you're right.
You say, what? You got to understand. The Bible says you deceive yourselves when you're not doing something.
Right.
See, a person who says, let me just give you an example. Say you, I want to be able to bless that person over there. I want to be able to do something. Well, until you start moving on it, you're not a doer.
Right.
And until you start doing something, until you become a doer,
yep,
the Bible says you're deceiving yourselves.
Yeah, right.
Like, wait a minute, though. Maybe I want to bless that person, but I can't bless them. I don't have the amount that I want to, or whatever. You could certainly start doing.
Sure.
You could certainly start moving towards it.
Yeah.
See, a doer starts doing something because that's what a doer does.
Yeah.
A doer is just that. A doer is not somebody who's sitting around. That's a sitter.
Amen.
It's not somebody who's waiting. That's a waiter.
That's a waiter.
That's a waiter. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Do you know how many Christians are sitting around waiting when the Bible tells them to be doers?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. The Bible says to be a doer. It says to go out and do. Yeah. What do you do? When something's on your heart, you start doing. Yeah. When something's stirred there, you start moving. You start going. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. How did this church start? By a couple doers. Yeah, there was just a few doers that were sitting around looking for something to do. Amen? What happened? Lord put something in our hearts. Came down, we started doing. We didn't even know. We drove down here one day. Stirred in my heart. We drove down here. Mentioned to my wife, we drove down. We were just out for a drive. We drove down. We'd never been to Corey, maybe twice, three times, something like that. Been passing through, didn't even know how to get here. Had to look it up on the phone. Amen. Come down here. Start walking around or start driving around. Start looking at things. What do we do? We're doing. What were you doing? We don't know what we were doing. We're just doing it. Yeah. Amen? See, this is something we have to understand is that God has things for us to do, but we're never going to get into them unless we do them. Right. Some people are sitting around waiting to be healed instead of living in healing. Right. You say, well, I don't understand it. Well, first you get in the Word. Then you confess the Word. You meditate on the Word. Whatever you need, that's what you start doing because you are a doer. Like really, a shorter word for the word Christian should be the word doer. A Christian should be a doer. A doer is somebody who is Christ-like. Christ was a doer. What did he do? The Bible says he went about doing good. Acts 10:38. He went about doing good. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because Christ was a doer. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Acts 10:38. Good scripture, amen. But Jesus was a doer. So folks, what are we? We are doers. If we are sitters, we're not doing much, amen. I've seen a lot of sitters in churches, a lot of waiters in churches. A lot of people who are sitting around just being lazy, not coming up with every excuse why they can't do. When God said that the supply will always meet us if we step out in faith. Every time. When you step out, the supply ain't showing up ahead of time. Why? Because the supply shows up for the sower. What's a sower? It's another word for doer. Amen. In fact, if you look up in the Jeff Michener dictionary, if you look up the word sower, it's under the word doer. And doers under the word sower. Amen. Which are both under the title of Christian. You should be a sower and a doer. What do you sow? Whatever you need to reap. Why? Because that's what a doer does. Farmers are doers. We're told all about this in the Bible. I know that this is silly and real elementary, but really this is what we need. We need to understand this. We are never going to go any further than what we are right now unless we start doing something about it. Our lives will not change sitting around. See, what so many Christians do is they sit around, they sit there and they pray to God for things that he's already done, asking him to do things he's already done, and all he's sitting up there just saying, I'm just waiting for you, man. Just get up and start doing something. Get up and start being something. Be the church. He said you're part of the body. Amen. When I was walking up the mountain, though I was aware of the blood coursing through my veins, praise the Lord, none of the parts of my body asked for it, did it? Why? Because they're connected, the supply just went to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? As I'm walking around up here right now, I don't even know. I've been walking back and forth. I haven't been thinking about, all right, foot go over here. Okay, other foot over here. Big toe go down just a little bit to get the balance up. No, they just do what they're called to do. Why? Because they're part of the body. That's what they do. They do what the body does. The body moves. The body's supposed to move this way and do this thing. Well, that's what it does. Amen? It just goes and it does the thing it's supposed to do. We are part of the body of Christ. We're supposed to be just doing what God has called us to do. Step into it. Just say, hey, you know what? This is what I'm called to. This is what I'm called for. Amen. I've been brought into the greatest body that has ever existed. It's the body of Christ, and the head is Jesus himself. There is nothing that God wouldn't give Jesus, and the head is attached to the neck, which is attached to the body. Praise the Lord. There's nothing that God wouldn't give Jesus. There's nothing he won't give you. There's nothing he won't do for you. But see, we have to get that idea that it's first something that we have to do. And it's not because we have to do something first. He already did it first. Amen. He already gave us Jesus. He already beat us to the punch. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look at this. Let's go to Romans 11. Hallelujah. getting help tonight. Romans 11, verse 16. Glory to God. Read through verse 22. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. Praise God. Do you realize that you go to God in prayer and you are part of Him?
Yeah.
You are His body. You are a part of His body.
Yeah.
You go to Him in prayer, but you're part of Him.
Yeah.
It's like you're asking yourself for the things that you need. He's like, I've already provided it. It's there. It's for you to take it, to receive it. But we have to be those who will receive it.
Yeah.
We have to receive the Word of God. The Bible says we have to receive it with meekness. Amen?
Yeah.
What's meekness? We know that we're going to get it with understand, being humble about it, of course. Not just sitting there, oh, God, you give this to me right now because I want it right now. I'm not talking about being a spoiled brat.
Yeah.
I'm saying that we have to understand our place, and our place is in the body. God always supplies His body. Praise the Lord. You know, most of the time when I understand there's times where offerings come up and things like that. We're like, well, how could I be any part of that? See, that's the first reason why you won't ever be.
Right.
Because when God has a need, praise the Lord, when the church has a need, that means you have a need.
Yeah.
Those taxes aren't our taxes. They're not the church's taxes. They're the body's taxes. Amen. The reason we bring this up, I'm not preaching a sermon trying to get money or anything else. I'm just trying to show you how things work. See, because people are sitting around waiting for things to happen without just doing something about it. Yeah, every single time I've ever seen somebody who's been prophesied over or something about finance come in their life, you know, there's something in me that just won't let me go past them without giving them money. You know why? Because when somebody's, I want to be a doer in the work that God's establishing. Praise the Lord. I'll be the self-fulfilling prophecy for someone else. You know what I mean? Like the one that'll move on the word. Why? Because that's what a smart person does. They move when they hear the word. They move when they hear the command. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. How do you think people, people think, well, how is God going to do it? Like, we talk about, God taking care of us and our finances and all this stuff in our house all the time. How does He do it? Well, we're not growing money. Our wallet isn't all of a sudden doubling. You know, dollar bills aren't doubling in our wallet. We don't have a magic bank account or something like that. But God brings us extreme favor. He has things work out for us. Things move our way because they're supposed to. That's the way a Christian is supposed to live. And I'm not saying we've perfected this because we by no means have. But God moves things. He moves favor towards us. The Bible says that favor will surround us as with a shield. That means God's favor will be on us as with a shield. It protects us from all those outward things. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. That's the supply. Do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root what? Supports you. So Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, He's the root. The root supports us. But see, you have to understand that you have to receive from that. Amen? Glory to God. But it says that that we were grafted in, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a graft on a tree or a fruit tree or anything like that? What do? They make a slice and they put it in there and they wrap it up and they let it, that it grows and it becomes part of it. It becomes part of the tree. You know, you can have a lot of branches laying on the ground. We have some trees in our backyard and there's a lot of branches laying on the ground, right? The branches nonetheless, but they're not connected to the life. And that's the same way so many people are. So many Christians, they're around the tree.
Yeah.
They're around the roots. But just because they're around doesn't mean they're part of it.
Right.
How are they part of it? What's the part that signifies that it's part of the tree when it's grafted in?
Yeah.
Because the Bible tells us that if you've been cut off, you're good for nothing other than to be thrown into the fire.
Right.
Which is the same thing with those branches on the ground. They're not going to produce anything that I want them to produce. All they'll do is produce heat when I burn them.
Yeah.
Amen. And so we have to understand that being grafted in means we're connected to something. It means that our lifeblood flows and that we feed it and we do our part, that we are connected in all of this. Amen. But it first starts in a mental state. We have to be connected to the work where God has called us to be, or we're not connected at all. And when you're connected to something, it's not easily severed. It's not easily removed. Amen. Praise the Lord. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off. And you stand by what? Faith. Praise the Lord. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. You see, this is what these churches are doing. These churches that are dying out and stuff, what they're doing is they stop continuing in God's goodness. They've made church about man. They've made church about being about themselves or their thing and not what God wants to do. They have congregations that won't flow with the Spirit of God. They have congregations that won't produce more of itself, because that's one of the things that a healthy body does, is it produces more of itself. What was God's command to Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply. Praise the Lord. What's his command to you today? Be fruitful and multiply. Doesn't mean you have to go out and have a bunch of babies. What it means is that you have to go out and multiply yourself. What if you could ask any of my leadership, what do I tell them? All the time, they ask me, "What, Pastor, what can I do?" I say, multiply yourself. Make copycats of yourself. Teach other people to be. If you know you do something well, then teach other people to do it. Praise the Lord. You do it with humility. You do it humbly. You do it friendly. But that's exactly what you do. Why? Because my foot, my left foot doesn't carry the whole burden of my body, does it? No, it carries its part, but it should multiply itself. There should be many feet, praise the Lord. There should be many hands. There should be many legs. And if there's a need for one, then the other should step up and do it. Amen? And that's exactly what the Bible's talking about here, praise the Lord. But you have to continue in God's goodness. See, this is why, what's God's goodness? Well, God's goodness is anything that God has ordained is good. God has ordained the church is good. God has ordained the gathering of the saints is good. God has ordained this fellowship is good. He's ordained the hearing of the word is good. He's ordained faith is good, praise the Lord. Excuse me. God has ordained all these things as good. That's continuing in the goodness. But when people start continuing in the word, not changing the word to adapt to your society, your cultural trends. Yeah. Not to adapt to the way everybody else does things, but you adapt to the word always. Praise the Lord. In fact, the word purposefully is our way of righting ourselves. When we get off a little bit, the word's presented to us, so we get back on. But what is the cultural trends of society doing? They're saying when we're off a little bit, well, this isn't what we are, so we're going to change that to meet up with what we are. How does that fix anything? What about if a doctor did that? What would you want your surgeon to go and say, you know what, this shouldn't be here, this cancer shouldn't be here, but we're going to let it go and let the rest of your body catch up to it? No. Why wouldn't you do that? Because it's dangerous to do that. There's no help. There's no life in that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What do? They cut it out, or they zap it, or they do whatever they do. But they do things to get rid of it because it's not right. Well, it's a cancer in the body of Christ to have Christians doing things the way they want to do things, doing things separate from the way God wants to do them, trying to adapt the church to meet their needs. Praise the Lord. Instead of adapting their lives to meet the church's needs. And this is why the church is the way that it is. It should become utmost important to us to do the work of the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. Matthew 7:21. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 7:21. Says here, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Not everybody who says to him, Lord, Lord. It's those who have been connected to God. those who've been connected to his work, those who've been connected to him, to the body, who are actually members of the body. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, I've had plenty of people say, oh, they believe in God. I don't care if someone believes in God. That belief in God doesn't mean anything to me. Lots of people believe in God. The devil believes in God. Believing in God doesn't mean anything to me. Are you connected to the body? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if somebody isn't connected to the body, praise the Lord, it doesn't matter what they believe in. If they're not connected to a body, they're not believing in the same God that I do. Why? Because you cannot believe in the same God I do and not be connected to a body. Amen? Because that's what it's, amen, praise the Lord. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In other words, who goes against the word. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, right? Who hears the sayings of it and does it, is what? A doer of the word. Whoever is a doer of the word, right? I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. A solid foundation. Amen? That's what the rock is. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and is not a doer and does not do them, right, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. What do we understand by these scriptures? Well, we understand something very important. Praise the Lord. The rain's going to come anyways. If you're a Christian and you're feeling the rain, it's no different than if you're not a Christian feeling the rain. You're going to feel the rain. But your house will stand if it's founded on the rock. If it's not founded on the rock, there's no standing. It will fall. Praise the Lord. In fact, trial is the thing that always tells us where we need help, what we need to fix. See, so many people look at trial and say, I just want the trial gone. They don't realize that it's showing them weakness. See, God will allow trial in your life to show you where you're weak because he wants you strong. And so if you find out where you're weak and then you fix where you're weak, praise the Lord. You know, one of the things my son's redoing a house, amen, the roof leaked. He went up and tarred it. And the rain came. I think it leaked again, right, in a spot. What do you do? He knew where to go fix. He knew the place that needed to be fixed, right? Now, the whole roof needs to be fixed. But my point is saying the same thing. There's more areas sometimes that leak more than others. And so those need better attention. Yeah. Amen. And that's what you see. If you know, if you got a ceiling tile, if you have ceiling tiles, if you have the brown spot on it, you know where the leak is. Amen. You know what needs to be fixed. And it's the same thing with us. When we go through trial, it will show us where we need fixed if we look at it correctly. But what most people do is they go through trial and they just curl up in a ball and think it's all life is all over. And it's foolish because God already said that you won't fail. He already said you'll make it to the other side. So what you're doing by focusing on how bad it hurts or how much you don't want it, what you're doing is you're exempting yourself from finding out what the problem is. So the next time the trial comes, it doesn't even affect you. Yeah. But see, a house that's built on the rock never is shaken. Yeah. It may feel the wind a little bit, but it's not broken. It's nothing. Everything is fine. They go up and clean out afterward, maybe clean up all the dead branches around it. Yeah. Same thing with a tree. You notice that? I notice in my woods, praise the Lord, when there's a big windstorm, you go out and you see which trees are strong and which ones weren't. Yeah. You go out and you find out which branches were good and which ones are dead. Because even though there's some, I've seen trees that every branch looks good. Praise the Lord. I remember one time we were going, there was this storm. I forgot what they call it. One of those down things or whatever. It's like a little tornado that comes out of nowhere. And it went through this village up near where we used to live. And it hit this one tree. And I remember this tree, you walk by, it looked like a big, healthy tree. Nothing looked wrong with it. But when that wind hit, because it was stronger, a little bit stronger than the tree was, it tore it down. And then when you saw it on the inside, you saw the rot. See, whatever's on the inside, the Bible tells us, will come out. It says your sin will find you out. And so whatever's on the inside that needs fixed, when the storm blows, that's what you're going to see. Amen? Praise the Lord. But see, if we're not connected, we don't have the lifeblood that we need. Praise the Lord. Colossians 1:21. This is why correction is not a bad thing. Correction is a good thing in those who are God's people. But for some reason, God's people still look at it the way the world does. The world sees trial and sees the end of things. See, God's people see trial and they should see the beginning of things. They should see ability. Why? Because the Bible says that Paul told us, when I'm weak, he's strong. You know what I mean? When I can't anymore, that's when God shows his ability and his power in me. Praise the Lord. That's why Jesus said that in him, truly, if you're truly in God, there's rest. And that's what he's talking about, because you know where to focus. Your focus is no longer on the trial, because the trial is insignificant to you. The trial just shows you where you're weak, and he tells you how to get stronger. So you don't need to worry about it. Amen. Colossians 1:21. Praise God. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. If you are moved away from the hope, the expectation, this is what happens to so many Christians in trial, is that as soon as trial comes, as soon as things happen, they get moved away from that hope that God, you know, all of a sudden you have a trial in your finances, so now you're getting moved away. You allow yourself to be moved away from the hope that God will supply it. What do? You've just left your faith. That's what you've done. You left your faith in that area. And so you need to strengthen that area, amen? But this is all part being about being connected. See, if we're connected and we understand this, we're connected to what God's doing, then we know if we're more than just people who are, the people who just sit by waiting and looking, they're not people that ever participate. They never get the prize. It's only the ones who participate in what God's doing. The ones who actively say, you know what? Yes, I'm after the word. Yes, I'm after the truth, amen? Which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Glory to God. And so we see here what God's doing. We're seeing that God is trying to make us, to get us to focus in the right area. Amen. And we know that the church, unless God builds a house, the most important thing is what God is doing. What he's doing here is the most important thing to these people in this area. It's the most important thing. Why? Because he's in it. Because he started it. Amen. And so whether it's full or not, whether they're all here or not, is insignificant, because what God is doing is still the same thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to close with Psalm 35:27. Praise God. Hallelujah. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Praise the Lord. And let them say continually. Everybody say continually. This is what you're supposed to say continually. Let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Well, I'm going to tell you, if he had pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, even more so, we are sons and daughters of the living God. Even more, the children get more than the servants do. So if he has pleasure in the prosperity, now prosperity doesn't just mean financial prosperity. It means prosperity in every area of life. Praise the Lord. Every area of life. What can you imagine? That's where God wants you to be prosperous. He takes pleasure in your prosperity. Amen. But what do the people have to do? Let the Lord be magnified. And continually say, let the Lord be magnified. Lift him up continually. Praise the Lord, who has pleasure in my prosperity. That's exactly what it's saying. We need to say that all the time. When the storm starts blowing, God takes pleasure in my prosperity. You know, a healthy body is prosperity.
That's right.
Praise God. Hallelujah. That's right. Having all your needs met, that's prosperity. Amen. Having all your children serve God, that's prosperity. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He takes pleasure in my prosperity. Yes. Glory to God.